Best Ford of Nashua, our President's Day sale is going on now. Get F-150s with discounts up to 16 grand off MSRP. You heard right. Not 10 or 12 grand. We're talking 16 grand off MSRP. Looking for a Ford-certified pre-owned truck or SUV? Nobody sells more Ford Blue Advantage vehicles in New England than Best Ford. We're number one for a reason. Remember, the best will sell first. See us today at thebestford.com. Go to www.bestford.com/special-event-disclosures for full details.
B-Pod Studios.
This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's become painfully clear.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I'm hoping, ideally, we would not return to a bubble environment, but it's something we're going to have to continue looking at. You know, I'm hopeful that based on what we're learning, based on protocols, based on testing, we will be able to have games with fans next season prior to full distribution of a vaccine. Rapid testing could make a big difference in terms of our ability to potentially get fans in buildings. I think to identify quickly a player who is positive, sort of we're seeing that in the NFL right now. I mean, watching closely what's happening with that protocol. Can they play through it? You know, how will that work? Will there be additional spread once they've identified a player that has it? So all those are all the things we're looking at.
985, the Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich, waiting on Danny Ainge. Danny, call in. I know you're rocking the Prius right now. Listening to the show. Maybe he's on the phone for a big-time trade.
Oh, hey.
But there you go. And by the way, if you want to feel good about your chances of not getting the coronavirus, know that Crash Clark was in Fort Lauderdale for a full weekend hanging out with his brother and came back and was tested and was negative. So, I mean, that's a miracle. I mean, if that happened, I mean, and they were at the elbow room having, you know, doing redheaded slut shots and everything else. And just
what's in that exactly?
I think that was the one from back in the day that was only in the South, and that is, I believe, the delicious Jägermeister cranberry juice and something else.
Okay. Jägermeister, and maybe it's just from the hangovers I've had from it from our drinking games back in the day. I never even want to smell that or see. Like I look at a Jägermeister bottle, and it just makes me.
Everyone has one. Everyone has one.
That's
of those.
The one.
Captain Morgan's.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jaeger's the one for me. And Jaeger tastes, I mean, not that anyone, you know, drinks like hard liquor for the taste for the most part, but there's some that I like. I actually don't mind it. But Jägermeister is the most disgusting thing. Why that was the drink of choice when, you know, I was in college is ridiculous.
I drank it up until recently. I drink all the college shots. You give me a Fireball, who cares? By the way, Danny Ainge isn't on the phone, so if you want to call in and be Danny Ainge and say what you think he might have said, 617-779-0985. 617-779-0985. Be Danny Ainge for the day.
Because they confirmed he was supposed to be on,
yep.
Right?
I mean, he's, oh, yeah.
He was supposed to be on.
That was confirmed. And I have a big, long thing I'm supposed to read for the Celtics, and I ain't doing it until Danny comes on.
Makes sense. And I was going to play that clip that, you know, you wanted him to hear from Sean Grandy, and I'm not going to play it until he's on the phone with
us. Here we are.
All right, so should I play it?
Let me do this quickly. The Boston Celtics are offering current college students, recent graduates, and those interested in pursuing a career in the sports and entertainment industry the opportunity to participate in the new Celtics Career Center, a virtual professional development program designed to provide career insights and networking opportunities in an interactive setting. The eight-week program begins on October 13th and will offer participants with content directly from the members of the Celtics front office staff. The cost is only $40. It includes four live speaker panels, two small group conversations, and two question and answer sessions with those who have broken into and gained firsthand experience in the sports industry. For more information or to register, visit celtics.com/careercenter/register. That's a bunch of slashes, and I'll tell you this. The Celtics season is over, and here's how it played out at the end with our own Sean Grandy.
And for the Celtics, as we said, a season a year ago that was just defined by trouble. This year ends inside a bubble. This year's team picked up the pieces. They restored Celtics pride. Last year, as we said, so short of expectations. This year they exceeded them. They got one big step closer to home. But they will look ahead to next year as the Celtics get another year of Jason Tatum, another year of Jaylen Brown, and some extraordinarily valuable lessons learned over the last couple of months that they will have to take with them in a championship pursuit next year. Because the Miami Heat have won the Eastern Conference Championship. They close out the Celtics in Game 6 tonight by a final of 125-113.
All right, there you go. Danny Ainge is the president of basketball operations for the Boston Celtics. He joins us on the AT&T Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Hello, Mr. Danny Ainge.
Good morning, guys. How are we doing today?
We are well. You just heard Sean Grandy, and he said that you restored the pride of the organization. You exceeded expectations, and this all coming off of a loss to a team that you were favored to beat. Do you think he was overly grandiose? In all seriousness, do you think that that was a little too much?
Well, I think that as I sit here today, I don't think it's too much. But I think as you know, when the game ends immediately, I probably wouldn't have wanted to hear that. But I think that, you know, looking back at what he just said and looking back at where we were last year and where we are now, I think it's we're in a pretty good place. But, yeah, that was a tough loss, no doubt about it. It was not good. Not good play in that series. Because, you know, it was so promising in the first two series. And you know, we could have played better in that last series.
Yeah, because we talked about it, and obviously there was the belief in the beginning of the season losing Kyrie Irving that, you know, Eastern Conference Championship wasn't going to happen. Then circumstances change. Milwaukee doesn't handle the bubble well. But then you're up against a Miami team that most believe that you were better than. And that kind of changed expectations from a bunch of the fan base. That's fair, don't you think?
I do think that's fair. Yeah, I mean, I think that we felt that it was a series that we should win. I think in hindsight, we still look at it as a series as that we should have won, we could have won, without disrespecting Miami, because they were playing really well and they were all healthy and fresh. And I mean, there's a lot of reasons you could go back and try to figure it out, but I think that we didn't play well down the stretch of games, and that had been something that we had done all year and during the playoffs. Crunch time opportunities had been our calling card, and we didn't play well down the stretch of games.
Now, Danny, talking to, and I'm not sure how many of them you've spoken with, but, you know, with who you've spoken with since this has all been over with, Brad Stevens, the players, have any of them mentioned that the bubble could have affected their play near the end?
You know, I was in touch with guys throughout the whole time, and I can sense how difficult the bubble was. And, you know, none of them complained, but yeah, it was getting long and stressful, and it was difficult being away from people they love. I think everybody handled it differently, and every team had to deal with it too. So you can't use it as an excuse, because every team was in the same boat. I think that it was challenging. How much it affected each individual guy is hard to know. But yeah, it wasn't easy, but at the same time, from a basketball perspective, it, you know, we didn't have to go into Toronto and play game 7 in Toronto. I think that there were teams and people that were affected by the bubble more than other teams. And, our guys did, our guys did well. I mean, the loss against Toronto to win game 3 was a tough loss. That was by far the toughest loss with the 0.5 seconds because, I mean, we really had to stress hard for, you know, to finish that series. All of a sudden, instead of being up 3-0, you know, we have to take it to a game 7 and have a battle the rest of that series. And I don't know how much that took out of our team either. But there's a lot of things you could look back at.
Yeah, because Danny, you just said it. You know, we're all this team all season long until that final series was excellent at closing out games. And I guess we're all just looking for an explanation as to why they had such a hard time doing that. against Miami. Looking back, is there anything that you can figure out, any reasoning or any kind of explanation as to how they just forgot how to close out games?
Well, I mean, I know you hear this a lot, but I mean, a lot of it is shot making. And so why are you missing shots? I mean, we had one game which was very much out of character where we just turned the ball over a few times in a row that changed the entire outcome of a game. And that was out of character. We've been a team that have created more turnovers than we've had. And that's been one of our strengths of our team. So, I don't know. You got to give Miami credit again. They switched up defenses on us. We figured out how to play against the zone. They went back to a switching man to man. That took a little bit of an adjustment. We did the same. You know, we switched defenses on them, and it had an impact. And you figure it out, and then you got to figure out what you're going to do and what players you're going to play. And there's a lot of chess going on. But the bottom line is, I'm not going to get too stressed about it. I don't think our team, I mean, we for sure, we're not 100%. We have guys banged up and, you know, losing a player like Romeo Langford, I don't think we know because he didn't play a lot, but, you know, Romeo was hurt most of the year and we were used to that. But he was starting to play really well in practice and do some things and, you know, not having Gordon be 100%. You know, he made some sacrifices to stay with the team and not go to the birth of his son. He really wanted to help our team, but you can tell that he was not the player that he had been most of the year, and he had a terrific season.
Danny, a lot of the conversation on this radio station following the end of the series was the development on your team of a go-to guy. And because Jason Tatum really took major steps forward during the season, I think it was assumed that he was supposed to be the guy down the stretch of games. And I think it's fair to say he didn't succeed to the point that we all wanted. Is there something to developing a go-to guy? Is it a learning process as he moves along in his career? I understand he's very young, but is there a development of that?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, the greatest players of all time had to learn those things. Jason Tatum has never faced that kind of a box in one. He's never faced double teaming every time he comes off of a screen and roll. He's going through things for the first time. And, I mean, Jason played terrific. He had his stretches where he struggled for sure. And I think it's a great growing experience. But first of all, I don't even like the notion of a closer. I think that goes against everything you would try to learn in basketball. We all knew that Larry Bird was going to have his hands on the ball, but, you know, everybody had to be ready to make a shot. Everybody had to be ready to finish. And, you know, I think that a closer I think it ruins a lot of teams when you have that. And when we have a bunch of guys that can close, Kemba and Gordon and Marcus and Jalen and Jason have all been closers at different times during the season for us. And so, you got to take the best shot. You got to create the best shot against how the defense and what they're giving you. And but I see a lot of growth in our young core guys that's very promising and exciting for our future.
All right. So speaking of taking the best shot, everybody loves Marcus Smart, but in that final game, he took 22 shots. And when you take a look at how many shots he's taken compared to the guys who are known scorers on the team, is that something that needs to be rectified?
You know, I think what you have to really do, Rich, is you have to go through the process and look at every one of the shots, because a lot of those shots were good. And by the way, he single-handedly kept us in the game in the first half. And with his offense, you know, the fact that we were down two, I think 62-60 at halftime, was Marcus was the biggest factor in that and keeping us in that game. So I think that it's a fine line of controlling too much of what guys shoot, but the defense was obviously locked in on Kemba and Jason, and Jalen the most. I'm sorry, Jason and Kemba the most, Toronto series and in this series, Miami series. So, you know, the other players have to step up and make shots when they're not guarded as much.
Yeah, because if you look at the difference, boy, I mean, it's almost, I think, half the amount of touches. Chris Forsberg broke all this down. I mean, I love his nerdy stats that he throws out there. Mm-hmm. But the amount of touches that Jaylen Brown got in this series seemed to be close to half of what Jason Tatum did. And Jaylen Brown, as we know, I mean, he's, you know, borderline all-star. Everyone thinks that he's got a bright future, and he was playing very well. Isn't that something that that somebody needs to look at, and, you know, or do you ask, why did he not have the ball in his hands more?
Yeah, I mean, again, when you lose, you're always looking at those things, and I know Coach Stevens is studying that even more than Chris Forsberg is right now. So I think that, you know, listen, Jaylen is a terrific player. He has, like, had some unbelievable spots in the bubble and in the playoffs. He is special. And, yeah, so who's got the ball and who's being able to finish against what matchups? And, you know, we want him. I remember when we had Ray Allen and Paul Pierce and KG and Rondo, and, you know, there was oftentimes we'd lose a game and, you know, we didn't get the shots to Ray Allen, who was the best shooter on our team. And it's a little bit of the nature of being in the two/three spot as opposed to the initial creator. But if Marcus and Gordon and Jaylen and Kemba are creating most of the offense, you know, Jaylen is easier to guard if he's just, you know, in the corner or in the lift position. And so even though Jaylen played great, I think that he will expand his game. I think he's ready. He's proven that he's ready to be an initiator of the offense more. So, again, it's not about how many shots, but it is how much involved you are in the opposite game. And I think Jaylen is ready to take another step.
Yeah, I mean, he looked great. He was one guy that I think that you can take a look at and see that, you know, I mean, most people think he was underutilized, but I understand what you're saying. But you mentioned Gordon Hayward. And when will the conversation start about whether or not he is going to opt in for next year?
Yeah, it's a good question. I don't know the answer to that. The league is trying to figure out when free agency starts. We don't know for sure. We think we have a pretty good idea of when the draft is going to be, but it's not set in stone either.
Yeah, so, this is going to be a weird off season for you, isn't it? I mean, this is strange because you don't even know what the timelines are, right?
Right. It is strange, no question. And so we're just all – I think the league has done an amazing job. I think the product has been great. I didn't think last night's game was great. I'm not sure which was worse between last night's game and the presidential debate from the night before.
They were both tough to watch.
Yeah.
You know, but you know, when this off season, you're right. It's you know, when you look at this team, Gary Washburn, he wrote an interesting article, and he does put some blame on you for what he called a thin bench. And, you know, looking at not just the bench, but the rest of the team and how they ended up performing here in the postseason, what do you think needs to be addressed the most?
The first and foremost is health. I mean, I would agree with Gary. I think that you could say that. I think it's a fair assessment. I think, you know, part of the reason we didn't have different players on the bench was, first of all, we worked very diligently in trying to, you know, upgrade our bench going into the playoffs, but the price was too high. They were silly acquisitions that we weren't even sure they were that much better. You know, we started to get Romy back healthy, and we really like him. Like, he's a good player, and I know that nobody knows that yet in Boston. That hasn't seen him, but
I liked him.
You know, we won the two games that we played against Miami, where we won. You know, we scored 56 points in the paint in the last three quarters of one of the games, and we scored 60 points in the paint in another one. That's Romy's strength, scoring in the paint. And he didn't even really get a chance to show much of that during this year. But going into the season, we liked our bench. We're always going to have, going, you know, into these big games and playoff games, we were always going to have, you know, three of the five main players on the court at all times. We were going to play center by committee. And so, you know, we liked our core players opposite them. But because we had injuries with Kemba and injuries with Gordon and injuries to Romy, that hurt us. And that exposed our bench a little bit at that point. So I think that's a fair assessment.
All right,
you know,
so
it's like 2 years ago when we went to the Eastern Conference Finals and we didn't have Gordon and we didn't have Kyrie most of the year. It was like you had time to prepare for that. And so Jalen and Jason and Rozier stepped up and played fantastic. And we get to the Eastern Conference Finals and move to a better team. But you can see this year we didn't really have the time to prepare. You know, like Gordon was playing top-level basketball in the bubble. Our team was rolling. And anyway, he gets hurt first game in the playoffs. And that, you know, I think that set us back a little bit.
All right. So Jason Tatum revealed this week that he had been speaking with Kyrie Irving. And last time we famously heard about Kyrie speaking with someone on another team, it was with Kevin Durant, and they were plotting to end up playing together. Do you have any doubt that Jason Tatum will sign an extension with the Celtics?
Well, I can't talk about that, but I do believe Jason's going to be here for a long time.
And what has he said to indicate that?
I'm not worried about the conversations. I mean, these guys, Jason and Kyrie, were close, and they'll stay close, and that's just part of it. But I think that Jason Tatum really likes it here. And his career is thriving. And I think that Jason, we have a good relationship, and he has a good relationship with his teammates and coaches and everything else. And I'm confident that he'll be here.
When do you sit down and have that conversation?
When we can. Yeah.
Okay.
Wish I knew the answers to those in dates.
Are you afraid Tatum's going to get all weird like Kyrie because they're hanging out? He's going to become all weirdo?
I don't think Kyrie's all weirdo, but I do think that I'm not worried at all about Jason having a relationship with Kyrie.
I keep my eye on him. I don't know. Well, I don't want him turning into some kind of weirdo.
I just, Danny, you've been there. You've seen these. You know, when the Durant and Kyrie conversation happened. Now I'm freaking myself out. When they had the conversation at the All-Star game, Kyrie was like, "What are you talking about? You got all defensive." No, I'm not. And then they just admitted that yes, they were indeed planning on being in a team together. So the minute I heard Tatum had been talking to Kyrie, I just got the worst of thought. That doesn't make you nervous at all?
Not at all. Because I know the world we live in. I see it all the time. These guys have relationships. And by the way, you know, if you don't create a situation where players want to stay and be, you know, then you're not doing your job either. So I think that those guys have, I mean, I believe that Jason will want to stay here. I can't guarantee that. I don't know the answer to all those questions down the road, but I think for right now, Jason's in a very good place with his career here in Boston going forward.
All right. Well, the draft is coming up whenever that will be, and it's got to be very difficult to, you know where these players stand. And even I, the great college basketball expert, I got a big question mark. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you. I mean, take a flyer on Cassius. I'm sure you will. I mean, the kid's
Cassius
got
Winston.
Yeah,
he's got
chutzpah. That kid.
What about your guy Tillman?
Tillman's raw. Can you mold him, Danny? I don't know. Can you mold him? Could he use another year with Izzo? Did he come out because of the Rona? I don't know. I don't know about Tillman.
Hey, what if I'm looking for there might be a year. I don't know what's going to happen. All these different coaching jobs that are opening up around the league, but you know, and I think my coaching staff that I'm all set with, and I really like all the people we have. But in case anybody leaves, could you send me the number to your high school football coach, and maybe I can give him a call?
You heard it. You heard it, Danny. That was unfair. That was unfair. He thought I gave him the old finger, and it was. I did not. And I have to live with that.
Well, maybe he just wanted you not to play.
That's a good point.
He said that I was being insubordinate, and to that I said, "What's that mean?"
Well, Danny's point was to get you off the field. That was the thing.
He wanted us off the field because we were killing him.
Oh, okay.
We were playing Liggett.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't think that that's the kind of with the players nowadays, Danny. They couldn't handle that. We're from a different generation, you and I. I mean,
that's not the coach we want.
No. Mao, if you want to get into it, my drama teacher would be excellent. Just don't do any kind of background searches, but just trust me, it's going to be okay. All right. Well, Danny, I don't know when we'll talk to you again, but it's always a pleasure, sir. Stay safe, and we're wishing the best as the offseason rolls on. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Danny.
All right, guys. Thanks.
All right. I appreciate it. There you go. Danny Ainge, big fan of the show.
That doesn't make you nervous, that whole
No. I mean, he's in Boston. They're a good team.
Jason's very much his own man.
No, but
yeah, they were a good team when Kyrie was here.
Yeah, but no, they're Boston. They're a good team. He can make far more money here than anywhere else. I mean, listen, if he's an idiot and he wants to go be an idiot and go. Good. Because there's such a there's a big difference between Boston and Brooklyn. If you think you're a big city guy because you're in Brooklyn, I got news for you. You're way better off from a financial standpoint, even in the marketing world, being on the Celtics.
Where are you going to win faster? Where are you going to win faster?
Here, but just wait.
No. Are you telling me that there's a better chance next year of Jason Tatum winning a championship than, well, next year, you'd have to wait one more year, than him leaving and playing with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving?
Yes.
Oh, that's crazy. That's crazy. And I'm as green teamer as it gets. That's crazy.
Until February or March when two of them have to deal with the media, they're going to implode.
Okay. We've gone a half an hour. We've talked to Danny for a very long time. We have to break. We will be
at Best Ford of Nashua, our President's Day sale is going on now. Get F-150s with discounts up to 16 grand off MSRP. You heard right. Not 10 or 12 grand. We're talking 16 grand off MSRP. Looking for a Ford-certified pre-owned truck or SUV? Nobody sells more Ford Blue Advantage vehicles in New England than Best Ford. We're number one for a reason. Remember, the best will sell first. See us today at thebestford.com.
Go to www.bestford.com/special-event-disclosures for full details.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? No match for a little DIY duct tape. Shoot, hold on. Nope. There we go. No match for a little... dang it, wait. Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape than a wrench. And a bucket and a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tool I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.
Now, more Touch Rich. Touch Rich. On 98.5, The Sports Hub.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're touching wrist. Yes, John.
We got some news from the National Football League within the last couple of minutes. This from Adam Schefter. There are additional positive tests in Tennessee this morning. Two more positive tests in Tennessee. One player, one member of team personnel, and as a result, the Tennessee-Pittsburgh game is now off the board. They're going to reschedule it for later this season.
That is wild. And that really screws Pittsburgh because this is their bye week then. Like, this is the week that, you know, you've been, you know, at the facility, you've been trying to, you know, so now what do they do? Do they just say, all right, everybody go home, enjoy your bye week vacation, and then come back next week? I don't know what they have to do.
Well, there's going to be a situation, you know, maybe that they're going to have to delay the playoffs and just have more time off for teams.
Well, the plan is just to be able to, and I read yesterday all of the math as far as like where to plug this game in and where it would be, where everything would work, and it sounds like it's, you know, during the Steelers bye week. But does that match up with the Titans bye week? I don't know.
Who cares? But
that's a big deal. Because it's got to be tough to reschedule these things.
But I don't feel like going through the whole schedule.
I know. But it just goes to show that, you know, everything is kind of on a string right now.
Oh, sure. They're gonna have to do is when incidents like this happen, they're gonna have to, you know, schedule things on the fly, and they're gonna, you know, have to push things back maybe, but the thing is that you don't have to push the whole slate of games back. You're hoping that, because the news from the other teams is good, right? Johnny Boy?
It's been zero since like the past 2 days.
Minnesota. Right. So I'm wondering, who did Tennessee play 2 weeks ago? And the reason I ask doesn't this virus take longer than 1 week sometimes for symptoms to appear?
I think it's 5 days. Fred would know because that's what they told you up at that clinic, right?
It's five days? Okay.
Yeah, no. And by the way, everyone's still getting tested in the league. They're not the only team. And there's been nothing else. It's just Tennessee right now.
Right. So short of a major wave through the NFL, they're going to have to, figure these things out with bye weeks and stuff. And if they have to push the playoffs back a week, they'll push the playoffs back a week.
I would say I'd push the playoffs back at least 2 weeks to give yourself some room here.
They don't have to do anything right now.
No, right now they're in a holding pattern and everything. They're able to reschedule things, but I would imagine that contingency plan is certainly in the works.
Sure. You can't do what college football was the lesson is. You can't make decisions right now when you don't have to. Yeah. You make the decisions when you have to make them.
There might be another situation where you go by the bye weeks of some of these teams and you have to tack the game on at the end.
Right. And so that's what they'll do.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a fluid situation. Short of, a major calamity where a bunch of teams can't play.
Right.
Then you're really up against it. But if you can, and it seems like they're doing a good job of being on top of it, and obviously they're testing everyone every day. So, you got to contain it. You got to keep these people out of their facilities. You can't let them, all together, and you got to let the virus take its course and then figure it out. But you can't be making bold statements and predictions for what's going to happen with the playoffs. No.
Okay. So apparently the bye week for the Titans is week 7, and what they're talking about possibly doing is the Titans and the Steelers to play that bye week, week 7, but you would bump the Steelers versus Ravens into week 8.
Okay.
Which would be the date of the Steelers' original bye. So the Steelers are supposed to be like week 8, and you would just move that.
Well, that's lucky is what that is. It's a ready-made, solution. The next time.
But what were the Ravens supposed to be doing that week? You know what I mean?
Unless the Ravens.
So, think of all the teams that get affected when one team, when this happens to one team, it is pretty nutty. But, and that does stink, too, because unlike baseball, where you can do doubleheaders and things like that, it's a much bigger deal when it happens with an NFL team. It's going to be weird to see how this all shakes out and the math and the restructuring and whether it creates an unfair advantage or a fair advantage.
Well, that's out the window.
People knew what they were getting into. Right.
You can't be concerned with that. I mean, you got to do the best you can, but at the end, the only thing is, it is what it is.
Yeah,
you play the games if you can, and if you can't, you got to kind of move on the fly.
Yeah. And Ravens bye week is week 8 also. So, it actually works out.
And injuries happen in the NFL, and things and bye weeks aren't necessarily fair, and it happens in all sports. And so it is what it is. Now, if there is
The Ravens have the same bye week as Pittsburgh. That's where they move. Okay, so they would just have a bye week earlier. Works out. That actually seems to work out fairly well then.
Right, and if there's a situation where it doesn't work out and it gives that's the breaks. If you have Tom Brady as your quarterback and he breaks his leg, that's, it sucks. There's another team.
I was looking forward to 5 p.m. football, unfortunately, Fred. That's
would have been cool.
Yeah, that would have been nice.
That would have been just, I don't know how you're going to get through life without the 5 p.m. game. I'm sure your whole existence was based on that taking place. But nonetheless, that's the way it's got to be. Got to be fluid, baby. Got to be fluid. Got to be able to take it as it comes and control it as much as you can, which they've done a pretty good job of. But, there could be a scenario where a couple teams get hit, few teams get hit, and then you got to sit back and just say, sorry, but that's the way things go. And your team's going to have to play.
Yeah,
you're gonna have games where you don't want to play them, and you might have to play a game before the playoffs. And why do we have to play? Everyone else got to buy. Well, because your team had coronavirus,
right? Because that just is unfortunately what you knew going into this season.
Yes, yes, it's called life, and unfortunately, unfortunately, you have to be in Nantucket, and that's just the way it is. I mean, that's just it's not fair. Life is not fair.
Life is not fair.
Yep, so there you go. The date has not been made official yet, the rescheduling, but I'm sure that's something to you can hammer out within hours.
Yes.
So I'm sure you'll find out about that soon.
All right, Rich, what's coming up in the old stack-a-rooney?
Okay, Fred, there is a movie that is being launched into a TV series. And Fred, the reason I want to do this story is because it involves a film that you and I have a backstory on that now that I think back, I still don't believe this actually happened. And I need your confirmation on this, okay?
Okay. All right.
At Foots Ford of Nashua, our President's Day sale is going on now. Get F-150s with discounts up to 16 grand off MSRP. You heard right. Not 10 or 12 grand. We're talking 16 grand off MSRP. Looking for a Ford certified pre-owned truck or SUV? Nobody sells more Ford Blue Advantage vehicles in New England than Best Ford. We're number one for a reason. Remember, the best will sell first. See us today at TheBestFord.com.
Go to www.bestfording.com/special-event-disclosures for full details.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem?
No match for a little DIY duct tape.
Shoot, hold on. Nope. There we go. No match for a little... dang it, wait. Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape and a wrench. And a bucket and a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tube I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.
I look forward to exploring that. Here are the headlines.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
Stack. 98.5, the Sports Hub with Toucher and Rich. Johnny Boy, who brings us the stack?
Win Donation, like always, Fred. It's their buy two, get two free sale. No down payment, no payments, and 0% financing for 12 full months. Check them out at windownation.com.
Okay, so over 70 million people watched.
That was a show.
That we all saw the other night. And many people are trying to figure out how can the next debate avoid being the absolute and total
show
that it was the first time. And we were discussing how would you do it. And I can't believe this is happening. I read this article yesterday about all of the things that each side agrees to in these presidential debates. I mean, there is a massive list of stuff you wouldn't even think about. Each side has to agree on the temperature of the room, whether there is a fan that is underneath the podium, the lighting. Like, they have a laundry list of just a ridiculous amount of things that each side have to check off on before there's a debate. And it's this thing called the Commission on Presidential Debates. It's got people from both sides, supposed to be bipartisan. They make all the rules. Well, there was such a backlash after what happened in the first debate that CBS News reported that that commission, the Commission on Presidential Debates, plans on issuing strict new rules, including cutting off a candidate's microphone if they violate the rules.
It's ludicrous. It's absolutely embarrassing. It's just an embarrassment.
They're going to have to cut off the microphone, potentially, of the President of the United States.
Hey, Mr. and Mrs. America, by the way, China, according to reports, valid reports, is over the moon at the way that that went down. So you think this looks good on an international stage? It does.
Oh, no, of course not.
No, not you. I'm not talking to you. I'm it's just amazing. Now, in fairness, there haven't been a lot of people going, it was great.
Yeah, so, most people have been calling it what it was.
If you care about the country, even psychos aren't saying, you know, it was fantastic, to my knowledge.
But
the thing is that you can, if you enjoy the country you live in, this is not a good look internationally.
I mean, just imagine that we have the button pusher.
And Lord knows what's going to pop off from that. Do you think the mic's going to be off? Being off is going to stop Trump? This actually might get funny. Now it's so absurd. Because it was a bit of a shock to the old gutteroo on Tuesday. That was a little unsettling. Now it might get to the point of absurdity where it's very funny, because I know if you believe anything you read from any news source whatsoever, whatever you in your brain have decided is credible, his people have come out and said, Trump's, you got to calm down a little bit. Christie came out right away and said it.
Too hot.
I know they said it was the greatest debate performance of all time. but we all agree there's spin. Okay, so you would figure as people would say, you know, focus on this and this, maybe not so hot.
You know who the last person in the world I want to be is? The guy who has the mute button. You'll never win. Everyone will hate you.
No one's going to win. It's going to be ridiculous. But when that mic goes off, the third time, I'll give it two times. The third time, it might be funny. It might get to the point of absurdity where we
leave his podium and start screaming at the front of the stage.
Because he might run over to Biden's microphone and start yelling.
And I'm not playing both sides, and I didn't yesterday. But I mean, Biden might lose his crap. I mean, this is a bad thing. This is not good. This is unbelievable. These guys are in their 70s. And they can't have two guys wanting to be the quote-unquote leader of the free world that these two can't behave themselves to the point where, and it's Trump's fault, but like they can't behave themselves. I mean, the people were told to shut up. This is ridiculous.
I mean, the fact that this is something that has seriously been discussed is just amazing to me, like that we're actually here. And as I said, that dude, I don't know how you pick who's got the mute button, unless you just mute it when the other guy's talking and unmute it when it's your turn.
Okay, if Borat came out, you know, and you know Kazakhstan got all mad at Sacha Baron Cohen, if that came out and then we had debate footage of the people running to be prime minister or whatever happens in Kazakhstan, and they had a mute button on the mics, and the presidential or, you know, prime minister candidates were throwing fits that their mics were muted, that we'd get a half an hour of the show out of it.
I've never heard of that happening.
And we'd say, what a backwards place this is. like, what a bunch of idiots. Like, ha, 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 ha. And now it's us.
Yeah.
Well.
And now this is what we've become. And I've gone down rabbit holes about why and the blame that's going around, not in terms of the individuals, but in terms of societal reasons. And the internet, the social media is part of this problem. By the way.
All right. I have to ask you about this, Fred. I know we only got a couple minutes left. Just because I saw this story this morning and it reminded me of something. So there's going to be a new TV series that was based on a very famous movie from the 80s. Now, Fred, I saw the name of this and I immediately thought of something. You and I worked together in one of our first gigs in major market radio. And at the station, there was a gentleman who did weekends and he was a voiceover guy. Mm. And he used to do club appearances all the time. Like, that was his big thing, is he was the party starter when it came to do, like, appearances, and he would give away free stuff and all that. Did this gentleman, very large gentleman, ever invite you to a gathering at his house to watch a certain movie?
No, but was he El Erotico?
Yes.
Oh, yes, indeed. El Erotico. I know exactly what you're talking about.
He never, because this is something that I remember when it first happened to me. The guy Todd I was working with goes, did you finally get invited to one of his Conan parties? He used to invite a bunch of dudes over to his house to watch Conan.
That's true.
And I don't know what the deal. Okay, so you heard it too.
Yes.
Okay, all right. Yes. So this was a thing. Like, once every 6 months, he'd have a Conan party where he would invite, and you know, I don't know if it was just guys, but the only people I knew who were invited were guys. So I don't know what that was a code for or anything, or if it was just a group of dudes hanging out watching Conan.
That's what it was.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, he was super into that kind of stuff, like science fiction and stuff. Yeah, this is one of the biggest alternative stations in the country.
Okay.
Probably the second biggest next to K-Rock in L.A. And this guy would go on the air. He'd do a 2-to-6 shift. I don't even think they paid him. And he would go on his El Erotico and just try to get girls. And the station, it took about like a year to figure it out. That he was just using it as that kind of thing. All right. Well, Danny Ainge, don't hire my high school football coach. He stunk. All right. That'll do it for us. Everyone have a fantastic day. Bye.
Best Ford of Nashua, our President's Day sale is going on now. Get F-150s with discounts up to 16 grand off MSRP. You heard right. Not 10 or 12 grand. We're talking 16 grand off MSRP. Looking for a Ford-certified pre-owned truck or SUV? Nobody sells more Ford Blue Advantage vehicles in New England than Best Ford. We're number one for a reason. Remember, the best will sell first. See us today at TheBestFord.com.
Go to www.bestfording.com/special-event-disclosures for full details.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? No match for a little DIY duct tape. Shoot, hold on. Nope. There we go. No match for a little... Ah, dang it, wait. Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape than a wrench. And a bucket and a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tube I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
Ah! On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.